بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. Today we read the aqaid and beliefs regarding qadr, that is predestination. Belief in qadr means to believe that whatever happened, happens or will happen, good or bad, is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and happens by His command and will. It is absolutely essential to believe in qadr for the validity of iman. Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiyallahu anhu said, if you spend gold to the extent of Mount Uhud in the path of Allah ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will not accept it from you unless you believe in qadr and you know that whatever has befallen you could not have missed you, and that whatever has missed you could not have befallen you. If you die while holding a contrary belief to this, you will definitely enter the fire. This belief of qadr is among the mysteries of Allah ta'ala. It is not fully comprehensible to the human mind, nor can it be fully explained. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade delving into the concept of qadr. Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu narrates, once while we were disputing about the concept of qadr, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came upon us. He became so angry that his face turned red to such an extent that it seemed that the seeds of a pomegranate were squeezed out on his cheeks. He exclaimed, what, have you been commanded with this? Or Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said these words, what, have I been sent to you for this? Verily those before you were destroyed when they disputed in this matter. I implore you by oath, do not dispute in it. Due to the belief of qadr, one should not abstain from doing righteous deeds, righteous actions, thinking that whatever has been written will occur. Firstly, one does not have the knowledge of what has been written for him. Therefore, he should perform good actions, so that his result is good. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about this, he replied, perform good actions, because each person will easily do that action for which he has been created. Secondly, as one's results are written in taqdeer, the causes are also written. For example, where it is written that one will be a jannati, it is also written that this will be because of iman and noble actions. Thirdly, no one abstains from utilizing means for acquiring sustenance in this world, stating, I will receive whatever has been written for me. So why should one adopt this approach with regards to the year after? Last night, alhamdulillah, in the Taraweeh, the 19th para was recited. The first quarter of the 19th para is the concluding section of Suratul Furqan, and that is followed by Suratul Shu'ara, and then a portion of Suratul Naml has been mentioned. Yesterday it was explained that Suratul Furqan is the word, is the name of the Quran Majid also. The Furqan means the distinguisher between haq and batil, truth and falsehood. It was explained that the main subject matter, particularly in the first few rukus, concerns the greatness and the exalted position of the Quran Majid, and also highlights the high position of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and together with that, the doubts and objections of the kuffar and the mushrikeen with regards to this, the answers to that have also been mentioned. Previously in the section of the 18th para, where Surah Al-Furqan had started, there the objections and doubts of the kuffar with regards to the Qur'an-i-Majid were mentioned, that they regarded the Qur'an-i-Majid to be fabricated by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and falsely attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They regarded it to be a collection of the tales of the people of before, and with their assistance Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam compiled a book, and they regarded it to be witchcraft and black magic. concerning Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, amongst their doubts and objections was that how is it that he is a Nabi whereas he is a human being like us? He is not supposed to be a human being like us. Allah Ta'ala answered that question at the end of the 18th para, that all the previous Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam who came were all human beings. They also had the needs to eat and drink, and also they used to walk in the marketplaces. So what's unique? That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also a human being, therefore that answer was given. The second doubt and objection which they had is mentioned in the first verse of the 19th para, that Allah Ta'ala says that those that don't have conviction in meeting us, they don't believe in the hereafter, they say, لَوْلَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْنَا الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَوْ نَرَى رَبَّنَا, that why haven't the angels been sent to us, or why don't we see our Rabb, Allah Ta'ala, with our very own eyes? Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in response to that mentions that these people are indeed proud of themselves and they have opted the path of great rebellion. The point here is that they are proud of themselves and they regard themselves and deem themselves fit to be in a position where they can see Allah Ta'ala. They feel that they are fit to see Allah Ta'ala with their own eyes, and that the angels must come personally to them to testify and verify that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says this is the result of their pride, and the demands, such absurd demands they are making, is because of their extreme rebellious nature. Allah Ta'ala says in the next verse that these people who are so anxious that angels must come to them, the day when they will be seeing those angels, which means at the time of their death and also in Qiyamah, but those angels will be the angels who will be sent to punish them. At that time they will say, يَقُولُونَ حِجْرًا مَحْجُورًا, that stay far away from us. These same words they used to use when the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam used to propagate the message of Haq to them. These same words they will use now to try and save themselves from the punishment which Allah Ta'ala will be sending to them through these angels. Allah Ta'ala then mentions in the verse after that, that all the actions which they had did, even if they were good actions in the human being, in the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them haba'an manthura. Allah Ta'ala will make them as discarded, as dispersed dust. In other words, they will be worthless in the hereafter, because for actions to be accepted in the hereafter, the precondition is iman. Without iman, no actions will be regarded to be acceptable in the court of Allah Ta'ala in the hereafter. Allah Ta'ala then mentions concerning the day of Qiyamah, where people will regret why they had not accepted the message of Haq. Allah Ta'ala says, يَوْمَ يَعَدُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ, on that day the wrongdoer, he will bite on his hands. This is proverbial, referring to extreme regret. They will be in a state of extreme regret, and they will say, if only I had adopted the path with the Rasul, the path of guidance and the path of salvation. Further on he will say, woe unto me, if only I had not made so and so person my friend. This refers to an incident which occurred in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A person by the name of Uqba ibn Abi Mu'id, he had accepted Islam, but he had a very close relationship with an arch enemy of Islam, Ubay ibn Ka'b. And that enemy of Islam, he was his friend, and he insisted and persuaded Uqba ibn Abi Mu'id that he should forsake Islam, and because according to him there is no reality of and truth in the deen of Islam. And he even told him that, don't worry, even if there is a thing, we don't believe in the hereafter, he said, told his friend, but even if there is something like the hereafter, I'll sort it out on your behalf. Don't worry, you don't have to worry, you just leave Islam. And on that, Uqba ibn Abi Mu'id, he forsook Islam, and he abandoned Islam. But on that day, on the day of Qiyamah, he will then regret, and he will say, if only I had not made so and so person my friend, لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي, he had misguided me from the reminder, after the reminder had come to me, in the form of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran Majeed. Allah Ta'ala says, وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِلْإِنسَانِ خَدُولًا, that shaitan, and here Ubay ibn Ka'b was human being, he was shaitan in the form of a human being, and shaitan's way is that at the time of need, he abandons you. He promises aid at the time of need, but when that time comes, he abandons you. He is khazul. At that day, what help could he have given his friend Uqba ibn Abi Mu'id? Further on, the complaint of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned. According to some commentators, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made this complaint already in this dunya. And others say that this will occur on the day of Qiyamah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say, Ya Rabbi, O my Rabb, verily my nation, those who were the disbelievers from them, اتخذوا هذا القرآن مهجورا. They had ignored this Qur'an. They had abandoned and discarded this Qur'an Majeed. The ulama explained that to abandon and to discard and to ignore the Qur'an Majeed is in various forms. One is to hear the Qur'an Majeed but not to believe in it. That is kufr. That is now one form. But there are other forms also which are included in this. That is, a person recites the Qur'an Majeed but does not practice upon it. Or he does not make the Qur'an Majeed a judge in matters of dispute amongst people, but they don't make the Qur'an Majeed the judge. This is also ignoring the Qur'an Majeed. Or not to ponder over the meanings of the Qur'an Majeed, despite having the ability and the facility to do so, but he does not bother about understanding the message of the Qur'an Majeed. This is also a form of abandoning and ignoring the Qur'an Majeed. And the last form, the fifth form mentioned here, mentioned is that the Qur'an Majeed, a person does not use it as a cure for all his ailments, whether physical or spiritual. This is also a form of ignoring the Qur'an Majeed. So we should therefore reflect that it must not be so that we are also guilty of this, for which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will complain in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning such people. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions another of the objections of the people of Kufr concerning the Qur'an Majeed. They say, لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنُ جُمْلَةً وَاحِدًا. That why has not this Qur'an Majeed been revealed to him all at once? Why is it that it is being revealed in a gradual form, bit by bit? We all know that the Qur'an Majeed, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. On the night of Qadr, it was revealed from the Lawe Mahfud, the sacred tablets, to the first skies. That was in one night. But from the first sky, the sky of the dunya, from there to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Qur'an Majeed was revealed gradually, bit by bit, in a period of, covering approximately 23 years. And in this time, the whole Qur'an Majeed was revealed bit by bit. So this was one of the objections. Why hasn't the Qur'an Majeed been revealed all at once, as was the case of some of the previous scriptures? For example, the Torah was revealed all at once to Musa alayhi salam, not bit by bit. So why the Qur'an Majeed hasn't been revealed bit by bit? Allah Ta'ala says, no, we have did it so. And there are reasons and wisdoms behind this. And Allah Ta'ala mentions three wisdoms here. Why we have revealed the Qur'an Majeed bit by bit? لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. The first one, that O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the reason for this is to strengthen your heart, to give you encouragement, that in the face of the onslaught of against you by the kuffar, in the form of mocking, in the form of ridiculing you, and in the form of persecution, by our revelation of the Qur'an Majeed, bit by bit, at those instances, it will strengthen your heart, give you encouragement, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his assistance is with me. The second wisdom mentioned here, وَرَتَّلْنَاهُ تَرْتِيلًا. And we recite this Qur'an Majeed gradually to you. In other words, we reveal it gradually to you. And the purpose is that it will facilitate the easy understanding, memorizing, and also practicing on the Qur'an Majeed. If everything has been revealed all at once, then to understand it, to practice upon it, would not have been so easy. Here it is now, it makes it easier to memorize and understand and practice on it. And the third reason mentioned here is that when these people mention many types of objections against you, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at that time we revealed the appropriate Qur'an Majeed verses at that time. This will give you an instant and decisive response to these people. At that time, what response has to be given? At that time, we will reveal it to you, so that it is easy for you to respond to them. So these are the wisdoms why the Qur'an Majeed has been revealed in a gradual form. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next ruku very briefly mentions the incidents of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam with their respective nations, how they refused to accept the message of Haqq. Allah ta'ala says, وَكُلَّمْ ضَرَبْنَا لَهُ الْأَمْثَالِ, that each of them, all of these nations, through our Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam, we mentioned the Haqq and presented the Haqq in the form of examples and different ways. But these people, when they respond, refuse to respond, we takbarna takbira, we completely destroyed and annihilated them. Allah Ta'ala says, consoling Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also, that most of them are such, that inhum illa kal an'am, they are like animals. Animals also, at least, they, with that little intellect which they had been given, they can understand those things which are of harm to them and avoid them. But these people, they don't realize that not accepting the Haqq is harmful for them in this world and in the hereafter. Therefore, they are like animals, balhum adallu sabila. Instead, they are even more misguided than the animals. At least they can understand what is harmful for them, and these people are refusing to acknowledge that. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of His various creations, in which the manifestation of the great Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His proof of His existence and oneness are all mentioned. Allah ta'ala speaks about the shadow, the decrease and the increase of the shadow. This is all through the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then concerning the night and the day, the night has been made dark, the day has been made bright, the wisdom and reasons for this. Then concerning the system of the rains, the system of the sending of the winds, and also the merging of the seas, where on one side there is the sweet water of the rivers, and which merge with the waters of the sea, which are salty, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His Qudrat, makes them run together and flow together side by side, as if there is an invisible barrier between them. All this indicates the great Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rahman, recognize Him, and if you can't do so, fas'al bihi khabira. Ar-Rahman, fas'al bihi khabira. That ask of those who are aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore it means that we are to get the true marifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stay in the company of those who have already acquired this marifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the awliya Allah, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stay with them, and then you will get that recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who are the servants and bandas of Rahman, who are they? Allah Ta'ala, in the whole ruku practically, Allah Ta'ala gives a detailed description that who are the true bandas of Ar-Rahman, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 13 characteristics have been mentioned here. If we should try and imbibe these qualities within us, which will make us from the Ibadur Rahman. The first quality mentioned here is of humbleness, that they walk on the earth with humbleness, humility. And the second quality is that when they engage with those who are the ignorant, they don't engage with them in senseless arguments and debates and futile talk. They make salam and they tell them peace. In other words, they don't want to argue with such people. They spend their nights in the worship of Allah Ta'ala, in prostration and standing in front of Allah Ta'ala, and they make dua to Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala must protect them from the fire, from the punishments of Jahannam. And when they spend, they are moderate in their spending, not extravagant nor stingy, and they don't take the life which are of a person which Allah Ta'ala has sanctified, but with a just cause. They don't fornicate, la yashhaduna az-zur, they don't give false evidence. Or some commentators have mentioned that it means they don't attend such places where falsehood is perpetrated. They don't attend such places. And when they pass those gatherings which are where the people are engaged in futile activity, marru kirama, they pass with dignity and respect by those. They don't get involved in such places where futility is, where people are engaged in futile activities. And when they are reminded of the verses of their Rabb, they don't fall deaf and blind in front of it. In other words, they take heed of the verses of Allah Ta'ala when they are recited to them. And the last quality mentioned here is that they constantly make dua to Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala must make their wives and children, their progeny, the coolness of their eyes, make them obedient and a source of comfort and solace for them. And وَجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. And they make the dua that Allah Ta'ala make us the imam, the guides of the muttaqeen. Yeah, it means that make our progeny from the muttaqeen. And being the father or being the man of the house, he is the imam. And therefore Allah Ta'ala make us also, make us a guide, make us also righteous and also our progeny. Allah Ta'ala then mentions that for such people are the lofty, lofty bounties and places of Jannat. Allah Ta'ala grant us all this. The next surah is Surah Ash-Shu'ara. It's a Makki surah. Here also the fundamentals of deen have been mentioned, but more so the incidents of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam have been mentioned in quite extensive detail here. The first verses, Allah Ta'ala mentions the great status of the Qur'an-i-Majeed, that these are the verses of the clear Qur'an-i-Majeed. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is consoled. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was rahmatul lil alameen. He had the pain in his heart for the hidayat of each and every individual. And when people were refused to respond to the message of Haqq, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be overcome with great grief and difficulty. Allah Ta'ala says, there's no need to put yourself into such difficulty. لَعَلَّكَ بَاقِعٌ نَفْسَكَ. Perhaps it seems that you want to destroy yourself for the fact that these people are not accepting Iman. Don't do so. In other words, hidayat, to show the path is your responsibility, but to give hidayat is our prerogative. It's not in your hands. We will only give hidayat to whomsoever we wish. Further on, the detailed incident of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioned here. So many times this incident has been mentioned in the Quran and Majeed, and that also was quite detail. For example, in the 9th para, in the 16th para. Similarly, here also Allah Ta'ala has mentioned this incident, and therefore, thereafter, followed by the incident of the other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Despite this repetition, but yet the reader of the Quran and Majeed, those who read it properly, he remains captivated and he doesn't get bored in any way. Because in each place, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions these incidents, it keeps the reader captivated. Even those who don't understand Arabic properly, but who have made, for example, hifz of the Quran and Majeed, they also know, particularly the 19th para, how they read it with so much concentration. The words which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how Allah ta'ala puts the words describing the conditions of the nations of the past, this is really keeps the person captivated. Although he might not even really know the Arabic language, but just the words themselves are so captivating. So this repetition, how Allah ta'ala repeats throughout the Quran and Majeed the incidents of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and the points which Allah Ta'ala wishes to highlight are all different in the different sections of the Quran and Majeed. In each incident which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned, Allah Ta'ala in between mentioned that the Nabi we sent to those respective nations, they used to tell those nations, وَمَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ, that I don't ask you for any remuneration, for any payment, for the propagation of the message of Haqq. From this we understand that those, particularly those who are engaged in the services of deen, that there never should their object ever be to acquire the material things of this dunya. Accepting of a salary for an ustad, for a person who is doing some work of deen, the ulama have given permission, but that is not the object of doing the service of deen. That is because they have been now restricted by time-wise to now do that particular service, or else then who is going to do that particular service of deen? So that the permissibility is in its place, but never should the object ever be the material things of this dunya. The nations which were destroyed, together with their refusing to accept the message of Haqq and Tawheed, the evils which they were involved in, whether it was immoral and immodest type of actions, for example, the nation of Lut, or whether it was cheating in business, in measuring and trade, whether it was because of the arrogance and proud nature that Allah Ta'ala had given them great stature and great wealth of this world, for example, the nations of Thamud and Ad. These are things we should now also understand, that these things, a person when they get involved, a person gets involved in that, and he doesn't fulfill the rights of it and make shukr for those bounties, and if he continues these evils, a person would invite the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to descend upon him. The last verses of the surah, Surah al-Shu'ara, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions concerning these mushrikeen who had branded Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a poet in the Quran Majid as a compilation of poetry. Their objective was to deny the reality and the truthfulness of the Quran Majid. Because normally poets, their poetry is normally fantasy, it is exaggeration, and it is now void of reality. This is what they were trying to say. But Allah Ta'ala says that those poets who are like that, deviant people and misguided people, follow them, and you will see that they are roaming in the valleys. They are wandering aimlessly in the valleys. In other words, they are in the world of their own. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes an exception that إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَذَكَّرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَانْتَصَرُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا ظُلِمُوا. Except those who have iman and do good deeds and remember Allah ta'ala in abundance, and they counteract the poetry of the kuffar who attacked Islam with poetry in the defense of Islam. So they avenge after they had been wrong, they avenge that wrong through their poetry. Allah Ta'ala makes an exception to that. So which means that poetry in which there is wisdom, in which the love of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is imbibed in those who listen to that poetry, and that poetry which is in the defense of Islam and in the honor of Islam, that poetry is not only permissible but commendable. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to sometimes make some of the Sahaba, Hassan radiallahu anhu, and some others to recite poetry, order them to recite poetry in the praises of Islam and in the defense of Islam against the attacks of the kuffar. So, and it is also the practice of many mashayikh that poetry is read in their gatherings. The reasons are as mentioned above, and for the islah of the person. So these are not only permissible but commendable, because really poetry in its true sense has a charming effect and a great and a very quick effect on the hearts, and if it is in the right direction, it is also not only permissible but commendable. The last surah mentioned here, Surah An-Naml. Here the surah also a Makki surah. These three surahs, then Surah An-Naml and the surah before it, Surah Al-Shu'ara, and the surah which comes after it, that is Surah Al-Qasas. This is also the sequence of revelation, and that is how this also have been mentioned here. This is how these surahs were also revealed in this order. In Surah An-Naml, besides the fundamentals of deen, the detailed incident of Dawood and Sulaiman alayhim salam is also mentioned here. Allah Ta'ala mentioned that we gave them immense knowledge of spiritual knowledge of Nabuwat also, and also concerning the things of this dunya. Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam was given the ability to mold iron with his hands. It was became soft in his hands like wax, and he used to make armor, etc. Sulaiman alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala gave him extraordinary kingdom. That not only upon human beings, but over the jinnat and the other creations also. Allah Ta'ala gave him the ability to understand the speech of animals and birds and insects also. The incident of the ant is mentioned here, through which the surah has been given the name Surah An-Naml, the ant. That once Sulaiman alayhi salam was going with his army, they passed a place where the ants, they were the ant hills, and on seeing the army coming, an ant announced to the other ants that quickly go into your dwellings, lest Sulaiman alayhi salam and his army trample upon you in a condition they don't even know. How small is an ant? On hearing this, Sulaiman alayhi salam understood the words of this ant, and he then smiled and made dua to Allah Ta'ala that, O Allah Ta'ala, grant me the ability that I am thankful to your ni'mats upon me and upon my parents, and that I do good actions and which are pleasing to you, and enter me into your rahmat, and enter me amongst your pious servants. So he made shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he was given the ability to understand the speech of even animals and insects. Then the incident concerning Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam was informed by a bird which was also subservient to Sulaiman alayhi salam, and who informed Sulaiman alayhi salam about the queen of Saba, whose name was Bilqis, that she was a fire sun worshipper. She used to worship the sun. Sulaiman alayhi salam wrote a letter, sent it via this bird, Hudhud, and informing her of the haqq, and that she should submit to the and become obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When she got the message, she wanted to find out whether Sulaiman alayhi salam was truly a Nabi or just a king aspiring to increase the borders of his kingdom. She sent expensive gifts with this intention that if it was accepted and agreed to accept it, then she was just a normal king. Or else, if he did not, then this was a sign that he was a Nabi. Sulaiman alayhi salam returned those gifts and then issued a warning that submit to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or else face the might of the army of Sulaiman alayhi salam. Eventually she realized that Sulaiman alayhi salam is a Nabi. She personally comes to the court of Sulaiman alayhi salam together with her chiefs and chieftains and leaders, and the Sulaiman alayhi salam shows them the demonstrate to her, besides his nabuwat, that how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him kingdom. And then she submits and accepts Islam, and it is mentioned that Sulaiman alayhi salam then retains her as the queen of the area of Saba, and some narrations even mention that he married Bilqis, she came into his nikah. And the surah concludes again with the incidents of the nations of the past, of the nation of Thamud, of the nation of Ad, and the nation of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them when they refused to accept the message of Haqq.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. An Abi Hurairah radiyallahu an Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam لأن أذكر الله مع قوم بعد صلاة الفجر إلى طلوع الشمس أحب إلي من الدنيا وما فيها ولأن أذكر الله مع قوم بعد صلاة العصر إلى أن تغيب الشمس أحب إلي من الدنيا وما فيها رواه البيهقي. حضرت انس بن مالک رضی اللہ عنہ سے مروی ہے کہ نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے ارشاد فرمایا کہ میں ایک جماعت کے ساتھ صبح کی نماز کے بعد سے آفتاب نکلنے تک ذکر میں مشغول رہوں، یہ مجھے دنیا اور دنیا کی تمام چیزوں سے زیادہ محبوب ہے. اسی طرح عصر کی نماز کے بعد سے غروب تک ایک جماعت کے ساتھ ذکر میں مشغول رہوں، یہ مجھے دنیا کی تمام چیزوں سے زیادہ پسند ہے. حضرت انس رضی اللہ عنہ quotes نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم as having said, certain of people engaged in the dhikr of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu after Fajr Salah until the sun rises is more beloved to me than whatever the sun rises upon. Similarly, to sit with such people after Asr Salah until sunset is more beloved to me than the entire world and what it contains. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu quotes Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as having said, certain of people engaged in the dhikr of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu after Fajr Salah until the sun rises is more beloved to me than whatever the sun rises upon. Similarly, to sit with such people after Asr Salah until sunset is more beloved to me than the entire world and what it contains.